Hello, friends. This is Pastor Benjamin Faircloth from Ignited Church in Livonia, Georgia, and I want to welcome you to Ignited Life Now. God bless you. I really appreciate you. I'm glad that we can join up together today on Ignited Life Now. I did find some time this week to bring another podcast to you, some more ministry material. I was thinking that my schedule wasn't going to allow me to do that, but it's a little early in the morning here on Wednesday, the 8th of June, June 8th, 2016. I'm telling you, this year is flying by. I don't know about you, but the last 2 years seems to be a blur with events happening in the world and events in my personal life, the good things of God, ministry, just everything seems to be moving at a rapid pace. I think that's a good sign. I believe we're headed closer to the coming of the Lord, and knowing that our redemption draws nigh should make our hearts just rejoice, man. Rejoice in the goodness of God. Rejoice in the fact that soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. We're going to see the glory, the glorious King. Man, what a day. What an opportunity lies before the body of Christ. Well, again, I'm glad you're here with me this morning and this day, whatever time frame or whatever part of the day it is for you. I'm just counted a joy and a privilege. Again, I want to say thank you so much for all the emails and contact that we're receiving and just the encouragement and prayer. I know that the saints are praying. You can always tell when somebody's praying for you. You can always feel that extra push and that pull and that lift up that comes from the koinonia, the fellowship of the brethren and the fellowship of the church. And I just can't tell you enough how grateful I am, my family is, my church is, to have a relationship with you, whether, you know, I ever get to meet you or not, or you, some of you don't even contact. You don't have an ability to contact, or that's just not you. Some people don't like really to email or whatever, but it's okay. I know you're there, and I know you're praying, and I really, really appreciate you, and I pray that this ministry is being a blessing to you. Well, again, I found some time to be able to bring this podcast to you because I really sense an urgency in my heart to deposit this information to you, to prepare you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to prepare you for a Spirit-filled life, to encourage you in your walk with God. Again, I know I'm speaking to a variety of people. Some have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and walking in the Spirit for years. Others are just looking at this, not really sure which way to go, and maybe just somebody's looking for some encouragement. And that's my whole purpose, is to bring this out in this podcast teaching time called Life in the Spirit. And again, I don't know how far we're going to go with this, but I really sense this urgency, and I also sense that it's time to start giving direction to the body of Christ in a greater way. The warnings are going to keep coming. We should always have that prophetic voice. We should always have the watchmen and the prophets letting us know what's going on. I don't think that's ever going to end. No matter if we're cut off media, we're going to find a way to do it. We're going to get on horseback and get the word out. You know, we don't know what the future is going to be in totality, but we do have some warning signs that communication may be rough in the coming years. But however that is, the word of God will prevail. It always did. It made it from the time when it looked like the word would be snuffed out and burnt out, if you will, and kings and dictators and tyrants tried to destroy this word. But you know what? They're buried. They're dead. They're gone. The word's still here. And that's the way it's going to be coming towards the end of the age and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have no fear, no concern whatsoever that this word will not have its prevailing power, because it will have a prevailing power. No matter if the winds of contrary come against it, no matter if the storms of upheaval raise up against it, this word will always prevail. It will always excel and go beyond the current conditions, because this is prophecy. This is the word of God. God knew the ending from the beginning. He spoke it. It came to pass, and it will come to pass according to his divine purpose. And that's great gospel news, and that gives you and I a hope That gives you and I an anchor to our soul. That gives you and I direction and expectation that no matter what kind of hell or high water rises up against us personally or as a nation or as a church, our God is a good God. Our God is for us. If God be for me, who could ever be against me? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Man, I tell you, we serve an awesome God, and I have no fear, zero fear of the future, because my God is with me, and my God is with you, and my God is with the remnant church. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Man, what a great promise we have in the Word of God. And so, we're going to have warnings continue, but I believe it's time to give direction to the body of Christ, to the remnant. Those of you, you shared with me through email and different contact that, you know, this is your church, meaning the media platform. I may not be the only one you tune into or listen to, and I may not be considered your only pastor. But for those of you who are home and you haven't found a good church and you feel this is the best route to go, and I've encouraged many of you, in fact, anybody that would listen, if you can't find a good church, start a prayer group, start ministry, stay in contact with the Father, stay in communion with Him, stay fresh, don't be stagnated, still disconnect yourself from the Babylonian system of entertainment and media and whatever, and continue to stay in that readiness spirit. And, I understand the need for koinonia, for fellowship. I understand that. It's very, very tough. There was a season in my life where my wife and I were out of church. We just couldn't find a ministry that satisfied us. We couldn't find the bread of life being properly dispersed from churches, from pastors. And so it was very difficult for us. So I understand your condition. But listen to this. God has a plan for the remnant church. He's got a plan for end-time believers. There is an end-time plan coming. There's an end-time church coming. Everything that you see now is subject to change. Everything's going to be different than what it is today. And the current church structure, the current church vessel is going to be destroyed and changed, if you will, because it's already marred. It's not working. We can't take the current system of our churches into the end time battle. We can't. It's not going to happen. Now, there will be a separation, the wheat and the tares, if you will. There'll be a separation between the lethargic, lukewarm, apostate Babylonian church and the red hot remnant. Absolutely. But my point is, as this system begins to crumble before us and we watch the rising of these two, there's a time of separation to get out of that Babylonian system. And that's what I've been trying to teach and preach and encourage you. And just understand, God loves you. God loves you. Does he want you in a house of worship and fellowship and all that stuff? Of course he does. But sometimes you have to count that cost and you have to say, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, have to say, you know what? Either I'm going to stay in this deadness and become dead myself, or I'm going to reach out, reach up, and walk in a greater relationship with God until he opens another door for me. And again, that's a decision that you have to make by faith. And if you're in that that place right now and you made that decision, don't feel condemned. Don't feel condemned. Know that God loves you and God has a plan for you. Seek him, and maybe he's going to call you to do something awesome. And hey, maybe you're the one to raise up something wonderful in your area. And it doesn't have to have four walls and a steeple and call it a church per se. It can just be right there in your business. There are business apostles. Who are they? They're people that have businesses and they minister out of their business. And they have that type of apostolic missionary mindset where they're going to reach everybody that walks in. Have prayer during lunch with staff. I don't know what works for you or what God's called you to, but there are different avenues besides your cookie cutter churches that you see dotted all over the landscape. Amen. So we're not going to quit warning, but we're going to give direction. And that's what I'm doing here with Life in the Spirit. I want to make a recommendation for you. In the School of the Spirit that we have here in Ignited Church, I always give a book recommendation during the classes. Sometimes we use a book, it's purchased, and the students will use it for their class. and use it for later study. And so I do book recommendations. Sometimes I do it from the pulpit to encourage my church. In this teaching from Life in the Spirit that we're doing here on this podcast, I want to recommend a book for you. I want to recommend this book for you that will really, really, really help you understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do my best on this podcast to bring that revelation to you through the Word of God. But there's something about having information in your hand that helps you go into a deeper relationship. And listen, I still believe that when we pray, you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidence of tongues, evidence of the fruit, evidence of the gift, evidence of a Spirit-filled life. I believe that. But this is something to help you, or maybe you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to give somebody who's struggling and doesn't understand the things of the Spirit, you get them this book and it will really, really help them. The name of this book is called Receiving the Promise of the Father. Receiving the Promise of the Father. And the subtitle is How to Be Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's written by Garnet E. Pike. Garnet E. Pike, again, Receiving the Promise of the Father, subtitle, How to Be Baptized in the Holy Spirit, Garnet E. Pike, Garnet E. Pike. And I have the book in my hand right now, and I want to give you the information where you can find it. You can probably go on Amazon and find this book, or you can contact Life Springs Resources in Franklin Springs, Georgia. That's Life Springs Resources. And I have not found a better book on the instruction and the education of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of good books out there, and I have a lot in my personal library. But this seems to be a very, very, very thorough, clear book that speaks to you and I on a level of understanding. You know, sometimes pastors can be so theologically thick. I mean, it's like mud, and you're like, what? You're trying to go through the Hebrew, you're trying to go through the Greek, and all these things, and you kind of lose the understanding and the interpretation of it all because it's so deep. That's not going to happen in this book. I promise you that. So I encourage you, Garnet E. Pike, I encourage you to get this book by Garnet E. Pike, Receiving the Promise of the Father, Life Springs Resources, and that is Franklin Springs, Georgia. Now, not only do I love this book, I love the person. This gentleman, Mr. Pike, or actually it's Dr. Pike, he was the dean of the graduate school in Southwestern College of Christian Ministries in Bethany, Oklahoma. And he was my dean when I attended and received my master of intercultural studies. He was there. I knew him prior through different ministry contacts, but I got to really spend more time with him during the time of my college education there, the university. And so, wow, he is an awesome person in the natural, you know, in his personal life, a man of God, and then to take a book like this. In fact, I was so impressed by this book that I took this book with me to Cuba, and they were just, you know, just thrilled to receive an instructional manual. That's what it really is. It's an instructional manual on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, praise God. I hope you get that book. It will take you much, 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 much deeper than what we're doing here on the podcast. And so I encourage you to do that. Let me read to you a few scriptures. I want to minister to you just a little bit and deposit some more seed of revelation into your heart to prepare you, again, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or just to really encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and just to bless you and take that word and just let it transform. Let that word speak to your heart. In the book of Acts, man, I love the book of Acts, because we're fulfilling the book of Acts. The book of Acts is not finished. I believe in the coming days, we're going to see an Acts chapter 2, part 2 type of ministry coming with signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to have miracles. I don't care what Dr. Dumbbell ever told you and taught you in life or in seminary. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to make it. I reiterated this several times on this podcast because I feel like I'm fighting against this lukewarm, milquetoast Christianity that's out there that resists the Holy Spirit, does not believe in the Trinity, does not believe in the manifestation of God, doesn't believe in the signs and wonders and miracles, doesn't believe in healings, doesn't believe in giftings. I can't help someone who resists the Holy Spirit, who grieves the Holy Spirit, if they don't want to listen to truth. Not only do we have truth, but we have an experience. We have manifestation, we have record, we have understanding. And so the Holy Spirit, He is going to be needed in a mighty, mighty, mighty way in these last days. Let's go. Acts chapter 1, I love this, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Did you hear that? Power. Power when you get an education? No, that's not what it said. Power when you finally get ordained? Nope. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I love that. And you shall receive power. What kind of power? Well, the power there it speaks of in the Greek, dunamis or dynamite power. Now, I know a lot of Christians walk around with a firecracker. Actually, most Christians walk around with a sparkler. That's the difference between somebody who's just saved and nominal and milquetoast Christianity lifestyle. They got a little sparkler, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Beautiful song. I got it. But so many times, all we have is a flicker of a Bic lighter. All we have is a little candle. All we have is this little sparkle, this little spark in our life when Jesus promised us that we can have dynamite power. Dunamis power, a power like a dynamo that continues to reactivate itself. Honey, when I wake up in the morning, I am recharged and reactivated. Regardless how my body feels, I might have to take a cup of coffee or two or three to get that part of me rolling. But man, I tell you, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's serve God. Let's reach the world. You don't have that because you've got a positive attitude. You don't have that because some Dr. Dumbbell, tells you this is your best day and think positive and all that. No, you have that because you have a dynamo, a reproducing after itself powerhouse called the Holy Ghost residing inside your spirit, and it causes you to be recharged, be renewed, to be revived, to be restored, and lets you realize the totality of being redeemed and lets you experience salvation to the fullest. There ain't no coffee in the world to produce this. There's no positive thinking that can produce this. This is a supernatural internal gift called the Holy Ghost, rivers of living water that flow out of your spirit that comes from the throne of God that energizes you and affects people around you. Boy, I can do this all day long because without the Holy Spirit, you're nothing. Let me say that again. Without the Holy Spirit operating your life, you are truly nothing. Now, I'm not saying that and degrading that you're not saved, you're not a good person. I didn't say that. You're nothing as far as you can do nothing. You can do nothing on your own strength. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, what did he mean by that? He's saying without the totality of me moving and living in your life, you can't produce the fruit. John 15, you can't produce the fruit that I want you to have and want it to remain because you got to abide in me. Well, how do I abide in Jesus? I abide in him through the word and I abide in him through the Holy Spirit. There's my two connection points. There's my hookup, my lock-in. There's my connectors. That gives me life and life more abundantly, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It doesn't come from going to church. It doesn't come from throwing a few bucks in the offering. It doesn't come from having the pastor's name and number in your phone book. It comes from a divine, live, exciting relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This needs to be preached, and it will be preached. It will be taught to the nations of the world again, man, because what America is heading into, you are not going to survive, and you are not going to make it on a dry relationship. Listen to me, a dry relationship that some 6-foot icicle preaches to you every single Sunday and tells you to pull little memory verses out of the bread of life, little, box that you have, Now, that ain't relationship. That's not the spirit of life. That's not life abundantly. That's lethargic, milquetoast, watered down, gospel, just completely, for me, a lifestyle that is unacceptable. I don't want it. Don't give it to me. Don't bring me your mush. Don't bring me your junk, preacher man. Don't put it in a plate, slop it on there and say, eat it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to eat the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to eat the life of God, the whole blessedness of kingdom living. That's what I'm going to partake of. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Man, he said, take and eat of me, drink of me, learn of me. And how do we do that? We do that through the Holy Spirit. Anyways, I got a long way to go and I'm trying to get through this, but I just get excited. Because he said, you're going to receive power. Power, that's what I need. I don't need your speech. I don't need a handshake. I don't need you to pat me on the back. I don't even need a few bucks to get me down the road, because at some point that money's going to run out. You know what I need? I need power. I need power to raise my children. I need power to love my wife. I need power to raise my church to where God wants it to be. I need power to fight the good fight of faith. So you shall receive power when? After the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, I can hear people say, well, that was for them on the day of Pentecost. Well, why don't you just try and test God? Why don't you just go and ask God if it's real and see what God does for you? Now, he's not going to play no temptation game, and he's not going to play that kind of game where you're going to strong arm God. But I mean in sincerity, if somebody says, God, show me your glory, show me your power, I'm going to tell you something. He has no problem doing that, because that's what he wants to do. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When? Every time he comes upon you. Not just in the day of Pentecost. I know modern theologians want to say, well, it ended with the apostles and all that. You're just silly. You're just silly. And I'm not even going to bring those scriptures out. I know all about it. I've heard this argument for over 25 years, and I've still been living the Spirit-filled life for 25 years. And there are people that are no longer in ministry. They're selling cars. Listen to me. They're selling cars. They're broke. They have no life. They have no wife, no husband. Their relationships are destroyed and all these different things. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you something. A spirit-filled life is not an easy life. I never said it. I never said you're going to have a perfect life. What I mean is this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. What does that mean? That means I can look back in my life and see the goodness and the mercy of God. I can look back in my life, and even though there's been trial and even though there's been tribulation, there's going to be goodness and mercy. There's going to be fruit, and fruit that remains. How do you do that? You do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get through this, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Now, let's just break this down for a second. I don't feel like I'm going to get out of this gear on verse 8, but I'm going to do my best. You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Now, the word witnesses there in the Greek means martyrs. Ah, you see that? Everybody says, well, I just want to witness my faith. Well, really, to witness is to be a martyr. You lay down your life. That doesn't mean we all die. It means that we have to die daily. I have to carry my cross. I have to pay my price. I have to walk by faith. The just shall do what? Live by faith. So I have my portion of dying daily and carrying this cross, if you will, that Christ has given to you and I. And I have to say this, Lord, if whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. If I die daily, if I lay down my life, surely I can pick it back up again, because your power is there. If I die physically, then I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be in the presence of the God of the Father forever. And so the principle is this: when you receive power, you have power to die. It's not good. It's not good preaching, is it? Yes, it is. Listen to this. You have power to die. What do you mean? I have power to understand now that it's not me, but yet it's Christ who lives in me. I understand now. It doesn't become me ministry or my Christianity or my testimony or me. All this carnal, religious, this junk that's out there in the plastic church. You know what I'm talking about? That plastic Babylonian fake church. It's not real. It's not tangible. You can't find life in these types types of churches. But when you have the power to lay down your life, it becomes real. You say to the Father, I'll go anywhere on the planet, anywhere you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. My relationship becomes electric, if you will. My relationship becomes contagious. And I recognize and I realize it ain't about me. It's not about my home. It's not about the things that I have. It's about Him, and my life becomes default. It all goes back to Him. You carry nothing into this world. You carry nothing out of this world. Only thing you can do is make an indelible mark upon the people around you for eternity and deposit into heaven everything called good works and blessings that God keeps a record of. And so I'm anointed to die. Again, that does not mean that I have to physically die to be a Christian. It means that I just give up things in order to fulfill the Great Commission and fulfill my relationship with God. So if you don't like the definition in the Greek and you just want to look at it as witnesses, okay, let's do it this way. Are you ready? Verse 8, but you shall receive power. Say power. Power. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So if we don't want to call it martyr, if we don't want to use the Greek for what it really is, then let's just say witnesses. Well, let me ask you this. Are you witnessing? Let me ask you this. Is your church witnessing? Does your pastor witness? Do you see a life of witness around you in any type of ministry you're in? Here's the point. Because most times when you have a church that is spiritless, in other words, there's no life in them, there's no baptism, and this could be individually as well, when you don't see that as an evidence in their life, guess what? There's no witness. There's no outreach. There's no going to the nations of the world. There's no fervency. The church of the book of Acts, man, and I can't get into it right now. I really want to. The church of Acts, they exploded. They just, man, they went out to the known world. Persecution brought that propellant, of course, that drive.